Hallelujah. And we're going to jump right into the word tonight, okay? Hallelujah. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. That's going to be our first scripture. Amen. Thank you, Father. I really believe that tonight is a night for the word of God to soften our hearts. Amen. I really believe that the Lord wants to soften our hearts in a tremendous and even in a supernatural way beginning tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, because I believe that, as was said last Wednesday night, I believe that with Pentecost, or Shavuot as it's called in Israel, with the Pentecost that followed the 70th year of the reestablishing of Israel as a nation in 1948, I really believe that that has ushered in an end-time harvest, the beginning of that. I really believe that. I really believe, I don't know how long this end-time harvest will take, okay? Whether it will be 20 years or 200 years or whatever it will be, but that final phase has been ushered in is what I believe, okay? And I believe that we can see, we're at that place where we can see the finishing line of reaching the world, reaching the tribes and the peoples and the nations, every people, tribe, language, and tongue, all over the world. That end line, that finish line, is within sight. And I believe that we are in the time, guys, that is referred to in the Bible. You know, I believe that we're in the time of the foolish virgins and the wise virgins. Okay, I really believe that we are in that time. We're in the time where, you know, many who believe in Jesus are going to conduct themselves foolishly. And basically by that, we're not talking about sin, you know, because the foolish virgins were not engaged in any kind of sin. They were just engaged in the foolishness of not recognizing the nearness of the hour and conducting themselves in a way that would have been appropriate if it had not been near the coming of the bridegroom, okay? I mean, it's late at night. What do you do late at night? You go to bed. You go to sleep. But not if the bridegroom is on the way, okay? You know, we're living in the days where it's going to be where the people, like Jesus said in the parable of the sower, what we call the parable of the sower, where many are going to bear tremendous fruit, but also many, their fruitfulness is going to be choked out by the cares and the concerns of this world and of this age. Okay? These things are all within the realm of what we're talking about. What was prophesied also in the New Testament about how, you know, at that end time, the love of many would grow cold. Okay? We're in that age where that's going to happen. Okay? But also there's going to be great exploits and miracles and revival amongst the church that is moving with what the Lord is doing. You know, this is going to be a season of the greatest revival, but it's also going to be a season of the greatest lukewarmness. You know, it's going to be a season of a great revival in the church, you know, like Smyrna and like Ephesus and like others that happened there. But it's also going to be a great revival and a great move of Laodicean lukewarmness, the worst that's ever been, okay? According to Scripture, that's not my opinion. These are things that the Scripture states, okay? And so what I want to begin to minister on tonight is what I see in the Word of God that He has given us as a protection against the negative parts, the negative sides of those three things that I've mentioned, okay? What I see in the Word of God, this comes really directly from the heart that Pastor Wade and I received in Israel during the consultation. It really is flowing from that, okay? And, you know, but I want us to see the strategic importance of this, because it's not just enough that we see and understand the impartation, but we must understand the moment that we're living in. Okay, we're living in a moment, we're living in a time when the competition for our attention is going to become the greatest that I believe that it's ever been in the history of mankind. Okay? The competition for what we engage and what we devote our lives to is going to become very, very much accentuated in this season. Okay? And I believe that here at Grace, we're really in a blessed position because I believe that we are amongst some of the very ones across the world that are hearing what the Spirit is saying for this hour. It's going to spread all over the world, but I believe that He has enabled us, for reasons that I don't understand at all, He's enabled us to be a part of that right at the very beginning. Okay? You know, as we're there, as Pastor Wade and I were there, and there's leaders of millions of people from the church in China, you know, and there's influential leaders the world across. I'm thinking, what am I doing here? And this is what the Spirit is saying, and it's almost overwhelming. It is overwhelming. I've spent the last week trying to process all of this, okay? And at the same time, you know, there is a comfort and there is a steadfastness and a strength that has come inside me because I also know that the Holy Spirit is giving us guidance in what to do in this hour, okay? You know, and so we're not overwhelmed by the moment that we're living in because the Holy Spirit is leading the way. He's lighting up the path. There's no reason to be intimidated. There's no reason to be afraid. There is a reason to be watchful. There is a reason to be vigilant. There is a reason to be sober-minded. There is a reason for us to discern the times that we're living in and to do what Scripture says we should do about that. Okay? And so we're going to look at the Word of God because, once again, you know, the more I get into the Holy Spirit and the more that I see what He's saying, I become surprised at the things that the Lord emphasizes in the Word as what we need to be doing at this hour. Okay? And here's the thing. Even if you don't believe like I do that this is a very solemn moment in all of history, even if you don't believe that, what I'm about to say from Scripture won't hurt you anyway. Okay? It's not going to be, let's say that I'm totally misguided in the timings of God. Let's just say that that's happening. This is not going to be a problem anyway. Okay? This is going to be good no matter what. So praise God. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And let's allow the Word of God to begin to pound away at our hearts. Okay? And let's allow the Word of God. I don't intend to do a whole lot of elaborating on the Word tonight because I believe that God is going to use His Word to begin to speak to us in a different way. Amen. I'm trusting that. I'm trusting and believing for something really, really supernatural and powerful to begin within our hearts tonight. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. He says, on the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Hallelujah. The darkness is passing away. Hallelujah. The darkness is passing away. At the same time, deep darkness is going to cover the peoples, the Scriptures say. But the glory of the Lord is going to rise upon His people. Amen. Amen. The glory of the Lord is going to shine upon His people. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord is going to shine in Israel. And Israel is going to turn to Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This is going to happen. The darkness is passing away. It's going to seem as if darkness is increasing. But what is really going to be happening is there's going to be separation of light and darkness. Okay? The light is going to shine brighter and the darkness is going to be heavier. Okay? But they will become more and more separate. Okay? I want you to think about that concept just for a moment. You know, today, the light and darkness are too mixed. Okay? In the end times, light is going to become light, and the darkness is going to become darkness. Okay? It's not that the power of darkness is increasing, it's just being shown for what it actually is. okay, in a clearer way. God is permitting that in order for darkness to be seen for what it is and for light to be seen for what it is, okay? Darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Okay, from now on, you know, we need to be proclaiming that. Darkness is passing away. Darkness is passing away. The kingdom of darkness is passing away. Its end is certain. It's already been determined by the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's now passing away. Okay? Darkness is passing away. The true light is already shining. All right? What is the next statement that he makes about this? Okay? The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. Okay, so John, he sets up this tremendous spiritual confrontation. He's saying darkness is passing away, okay? And the true light is already shining. It's going to shine brighter and brighter and brighter, okay? And then, you know, he follows up this tremendous statement of spiritual warfare by giving a 17-point instruction on how to pray. Right? No, that isn't what he does. Okay? We need to understand that the next statement that he makes is made when it is made, because a key part, a foundational part of darkness passing away and the true light shining brighter is contained in the truth of the next statement. Okay? You know, it's we think that there are many things that we attribute that will make darkness less and light increase, okay? And usually, most of them do have some factor in that. Am I saying that we shouldn't pray? Of course not. Jesus taught us to pray, okay? Does prayer play a part in what we're talking about? Of course it does. Does worship play a part in what we're talking about? Of course it does. Okay? All of these things are principles of God's word. But here, the Apostle John is isolating the one thing, okay, that is going to determine how this thing progresses in our lives and in our church and across the face of the earth. Amen. He highlights this next statement is not a random statement. It's a statement that is completely connected with the one that says before, that he says before, the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Then he goes on to say, the one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Amen. Okay. Now, here's what I want to say about that. And like I said, I'm not going to be elaborating, or at least I don't think I'm going to be elaborating too much tonight. We're going to let the word speak more for itself, and then time will come for development and elaboration as we continue on this theme on other occasions. Okay, so as the darkness is passing and the true light is shining, all right, what is the key statement that is going to determine the progress of those things happening? Okay, he says, there's an absolute statement. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. The one who hates his brother is still in darkness, no matter what they say. Okay, and so here's the point, that in this time where light is becoming more light and dark is becoming more dark, what is actually going to produce that dynamic in the spiritual realm is determined by what we do with each other. Amen. Okay? Whether we love or whether we hate our brothers. Okay? Now, one thing that we need to say about that is this, that there's only two possibilities. Okay? We like for there to be this little comfortable middle ground, you know, where I don't hate my brother, but neither am I loving my brother in the way that the scripture commands for me to do that. Okay? And there is this comfortable middle ground. Okay? You know, where I don't really love my brother, but I'm friendly with him. Okay? I don't really love my brother, but I'm courteous to him. You know, I don't really love my brother, but I know how to put on my Sunday or my meeting face and smile at them encouragingly. Okay? You know, we want there to be a middle ground, but remember what we said earlier, guys, okay? In the day that we're living in, light is going to become more light and darkness is going to become more dark, okay? This is so that both of those things can be made manifest for what they are, okay? The process of that, what's happening in the body of Christ, or at least the ones that are not the foolish virgins, but are the wise ones, all right? What's happening in the body of Christ is we are learning to stop hating our brother and we're learning to love our brother. Amen. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. That's what's going to be happening. Like I said, I think you're already surprised. I think I feel like I see the surprise on your face, okay? But we're gonna let the Word of God speak for itself tonight. Okay? Because I really need for us to have maybe some religious thinking challenged, and we need to move into what the Scripture says we're supposed to be doing at this time. Okay? The one who loves his brother abides in the light. There is no cause for stumbling in him. Okay? The one who hates his brother, the next verse, or it might be the previous one. Yeah, it's the next one. The one who hates his brother, it's either love or hate. You know, if I love my brother, I'm in the light. If I hate my brother, I'm in darkness. Okay, now, we need to understand, guys, that when it says hate there, it's really talking about the true meaning of the word despising. Okay? And despising doesn't really mean that we, in the way that we use it in Beulahville. Oh, I just despise that person. You know, it means you can't stand them. You know, it means that when they get around, you know, the hairs on your arms just stand up because you just about have a nervous fit. Okay? You know, I despise that person. Okay? It doesn't mean that. What despising literally, really, truly means is to count as of lesser value than what they really are. Okay? Despising means to place a price or a value on them that is lesser than what they truly have. Okay? And you know, let's go ahead and define, you know, what is the price that is appropriate for us to deal with our brothers? Okay? Is it not the same price that the Father assigned to them? You know, he basically said, this is what Drew is worth. Okay, this is what Sierra is worth. This is what William is worth. This is what Jeff is worth.
And he said it like this.
He sent his son to die on the cross. He said, this is what they are worth. Okay, and hating my brother is to consider them as of lesser value than what they truly have. Okay? It's despising in the literal sense of that word, not in the way that we use it. Okay? It's not talking about you know, hating in the sense of doing something wrong against them. I mean, sure, it includes that, but it's far more than just that. All right? So we have here, there's two possibilities, just like there's light and darkness. Okay? I either love my brother, or I hate my brother. Okay? Does anyone see any other possibility in that passage? Okay? I either love my brother, which means I'm in the light, okay? Or I hate my brother, which means I'm in darkness. Amen. Okay, it makes one other statement about the one that is in the light because he loves his brother. The one there is, this is an absolute statement, okay? You know, as deception covers the earth, you know, as the Lord allows the enemy to bring counterfeit stuff on the earth, like Jesus said would happen in the last days, you know, and it says in one passage that it would be even possible for the elect to be deceived, okay? We have to look at the absolute statements of Scripture so that we can remain in the place that we should remain in. Okay? What is the absolute statement of Scripture here? You know, if I pray in tongues, then I'm in the light. No, if I pray an hour a day, then I'm in the light. No, if I worship God 3 hours a day, then I'm in the light. No, it doesn't say that about any of this stuff. It says, if I love my brother, then I'm in the light. Okay? These are the absolute statements. I mean, things are going to come on the face of the earth. The Bible tells us that could deceive even the very elect. How do we stay free from deception? We look at the absolute statements of Scripture, okay, and we begin to obey them. We begin to obey them. And so, as we continue with this passage, it says one other thing about the brother. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. Amen. How can I absolutely know that I abide in the light? Loving my brother. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, and then it says, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Wow. Okay, how many of you, like me, because I do desire this, and I'm about to ask you if you desire it, how many of you, like me, would like to have everything that's in your life that could cause stumbling to be removed from you? I mean, I'm here. If I could reach higher, I would. Okay? I want that. I want that everything that's in my life that could make someone else stumble, I want it out of my life. Because I don't want to be a stumbling block. Okay? One of the very worst things that we see in Scripture is when someone is a stumbling block. Okay? You know, and people stumble over them. Jesus talks about that. You know, being a stumbling block. People who are hypocritical. People who do not live, you know, what they are saying and are seen to not be living that and cause others to stumble and not be able to receive from Jesus Christ the way that they otherwise would. Okay, it says if anyone causes one of these little children to stumble, it'd be better for him to be weighed down with a heavy millstone and cast into the sea than for that. Being a stumbling block is a serious thing. Okay, it's a very serious thing. You know, and one of the things about being in leadership is that it is a very even more serious thing for us than it is for you. Okay? Being a stumbling block is a very, very serious and weighty matter. That's why I say, and I hear Pastor Wade pray this all the time with the leaders on Monday, that we would not, that we would be free from anything that would cause others to stumble. Okay, what is the promise of Scripture here? That if I love my brother, God is going to somehow deal with the junk in me that would cause someone else to stumble. Hallelujah. Amen. As I love my brother, this is a promise, okay? As I love my brother, the garbage and the junk that is so prevalent in all of us, okay, until God weeds it out. We're probably all in different stages of God getting that garbage out of us, okay? But how do we get him? How do we release him, rather? How do we release him to get rid of this stuff in us? We love our brother. Okay? Now, as we see there's no cause for stumbling in him, we're talking about hypocrisy. What is the path of getting free of hypocrisy? Loving my brother. Amen. Okay? What is the path for getting free of things that would cause other people to stumble? The things that I want to be free of? It's loving my brother. Because if I love my brother, there's no cause for stumbling in me. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that a powerful promise? That's a powerful thing. Okay? You know, and so we see, what is it that is the major stumbling block? It's usually hypocrisy. Okay? As I love my brother, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Amen. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. The path that the Scripture lays out for freedom from these things that the Scriptures also warn us so much about. Okay? Jesus warned us, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And what were the Pharisees doing? They were acting spiritual, but they actually hated people on the inside. Okay? They despised and hated their brothers. You know, they were the ones that would go and would pray for hours and would fast twice a week. But in their hearts, they were saying, I thank you, God. In fact, Jesus says that he prayed to himself. I thank you that I'm not like this other one over here. Okay? Because I fast twice a week and I pray like this and I do that. Okay? And I'm not like this tax gatherer over here, this tax collector. I'm not like them. Okay? You know, what's going on? The despising of the brother led to hypocrisy. Okay? What leads to hypocrisy is an improper evaluation system concerning other people. Thank you, Lord. Okay? It's assigning improper value to others. That's what leads to hypocrisy. Now, this is some really awesome stuff, guys. Okay? And it's just from God's Word. It's not awesome because I'm saying it. I'm saying it because it's in the Word. Okay? This is really awesome stuff. In the measure that I do not love my brother, that I assign lesser value, isn't that exactly what the Pharisee did? Oh, I thank you. Look at this poor, pitiful little tax collector over here. You know, and what did he do? You know, he was there praying and he didn't even dare look up to heaven. And he started to beat on his chest and he said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And who went home justified? It was the tax collector. Okay? The Pharisee thought he was in light, but he was in darkness. Okay? Thank you, Lord. The Pharisee thought that he knew what was righteous, but he was in darkness. And it's because of the principles that are laid out right here. Okay, so the one who loves his brother is in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Okay? It's darkness. And here's where I want to end this scripture. Because once again, what we're trying to do is we want the Word of God to soften our hearts. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to open up our hearts. We're not trying to justify ourselves tonight. You know, and neither are we trying to feel bad. But what we're trying to do is let the Word of God just pound away and change religious concepts. We have so many silly ideas about what spirituality really is. We have so many unscriptural ideas about what constitutes true spiritual life. Okay? And it usually has to do with gifting and talent and ability and not with what John is dealing with here. Okay? But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Okay? Now, The darkness has blinded his eyes. Okay, so what is it that would make me assign lesser value or despise or hate Paul than what he's really worth? To deal with him as if he is worth less. And Paul, you're just a random victim tonight. No one told you to sit close to me, okay? You know, Pastor Wade, what is it that makes me assign lesser value to Pastor Wade or to Brandon or to Paul or to any of us that are here tonight? What is it that makes me do that? Darkness. Darkness makes me do that. The darkness has blinded my eyes. I don't see them for what they truly are and for the value that they truly have because darkness has blinded my eyes. And since I don't see who they are, I'm also blind to not know where I am going. Okay? I don't see where I am either. Okay? The one who hates his brother is in darkness and does not know where he is going. There are a lot of Christians that are stumbling around in darkness. The darkness has blinded their eyes, and it has to do with our relationships with one another. Okay? As darkness passes more and more from the body of Christ, what's going to happen is we're going to see each other with the value that we really have more and more. We're going to love and value each other more and more than we have up until now. Okay? What is it that causes darkness to pass away? Loving our brother. Do we want light and glory in this sanctuary? Okay? We want that. Is that going to be released because I can sing a certain song 37 times in praise and worship? No, it's going to be released. Okay? It's going to be released as we choose to obey the commandment of the Lord to love one another. As I do that, layers and layers of darkness are removed from me. The light of the glory of the Lord begins to shine in my life and in this place, in us collectively, in a greater way. Amen. Hallelujah. Because it's the darkness that has blinded my eyes. It's what makes me see you for less than what you really are. It's spiritual darkness. Amen. There is a great conflict, if you will. This is another way to phrase it. There is a great spiritual battle, okay, that is going on. It's the battle of the ages, if you will. And the battleground is, will I love you according to the way that I should or not? It really comes down to that. Will I do that or will I not? If I choose to do it, darkness retreats, light increases. Amen. Amen. Or actually, light increases, darkness retreats. Amen. Okay? So, you know, I want us to get a real different concept, you know, of what true spiritual warfare actually is. You know, oftentimes we think that it's shouting at the devil, and sometimes the devil needs a good shout. Okay? Sometimes he needs that. Sometimes he needs, you know, we need to blow his eardrums out a little bit. That's fine with me. Okay? But what actually causes light to increase and darkness to decrease is how we treat each other. Okay? How we treat each other. Or conversely, what causes light to decrease and darkness increase is how we treat each other. Amen. Okay, well, Pastor Wade, I've got through the first scripture. We've toiled through that first one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want us to look at the next scripture, and we're gonna begin to define what loving each other looks like. Okay? According to the Word of God. Once again, this is not going to be a practical message tonight because we're not ready for practicing yet. We need to have our hearts convicted before we can begin to practice. Or at least that's what I believe. And so that's why we're going with the Word of God. We need to have our hearts softened up. Because, guys, we're not moving into a playtime. Okay? We're not moving into a season where it's going to be okay for me to just, do Brandon a special favor today and then forget about this message. That's not how it's going to work. We're talking about the strategic difference between this working or not. Okay? And so as such, we need to be convinced from the scripture, not from me, we need to be convinced from the scripture that that's really what this is. Okay? So we're going to pound away at that. What does loving each other look like? Oh, it's a warm, fuzzy feeling in praise and worship, Pastor Jim. That's my favorite verse from Hesitations. Okay? Oh, as we praise and worship, like Joy was leading tonight, it was so wonderful. I just feel like I love everybody. We're all here singing together. We're all raising our hands and I love you. Hallelujah. Pastor Wade, that was the definition from back in the 70s. Okay? But hopefully we've grown a little bit since then. Okay, what does loving each other look like? Okay, Romans 12:10. I'm so glad you asked. Okay, Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Hallelujah. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Okay. Now, someone who is truly loving their brethren, brothers and sisters, is someone who is devoted to it. Okay? Someone who is making that a persistent and consistent lifestyle that it takes priority over other things. Okay? If I'm devoted to something, that means I'm not devoted to other things. Because I can't be simultaneously devoted to two things. They will always conflict. Okay? I cannot be devoted to one sport, and be devoted at the same time to another one because I'll have to play one or the other. It's like soccer and football in high school. They're played at the same time, so you got to choose one or the other, or at least for the guys it is. You got to choose one or the other. You cannot be simultaneously devoted as a guy to soccer and football in high school because they play it at the same time. You got to choose one or the other. You can only be devoted to one of them. Okay? If I'm devoted to each of you, all of you, and to all the ones who are not here tonight in brotherly love, that means that other things are going to have to take a lesser priority. Other things are going to have to be less important to me than you. Okay? Being devoted to one another in brotherly love. Okay? I want to ask you this question. I'm not going to ask for any answers. So this isn't a trick question, Pastor Wade. Hallelujah. I'm not going to ask for any response from you, but just you and the Lord. Can you honestly say tonight that I'm devoted to my brothers and sisters in brotherly love? Can I honestly say that tonight? Can I, can I look in the mirror and tell myself that and keep a straight face? I'm really devoted. Just answer between you and the Lord on that, okay? But being devoted is something, it becomes a pursuit that is greater than other things. And once again, you know, as we look more and more at the scripture, this is what the scripture is saying that we need to have in the end times. In the end times, and I'm trying to lay it out before why that is. Because as we love one another, light increases. As we hate one another, darkness increases. Okay? And this is the time when light and darkness are going to become separated. Hallelujah. What's going to happen in the church? You know, in large portions of the church, at least basically what we can see in the scripture, hypocrisy and lukewarmness is going to prevail. Okay? In other parts of the church, there's going to be an incredible, incredible glory, you know, as the love increases. Thank you, Lord. Okay? Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. So, one more thought about this scripture before we go to the next one. This is an option. Right? You know, if I tell you, you got to be like this, you know, that's really not an option. Okay? It says there, be devoted when you get mature. You know, once you get to be 88 like Miss B, you love everybody, and then you can obey this scripture. Hallelujah. I think Miss B would say it's not automatic even at 88. I think she would say that. Hallelujah. No, this is a command. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Okay? Why do we need to do that? We want less darkness, more light. Less darkness, more light. Choosing to not be devoted to one another in brotherly love is to choose more darkness. Okay? Is to choose more darkness. It's to say, no, the level of light we got now, that's enough. No, it's not enough. I'm telling you, I don't know what you think, but I am ready for the glory of the Lord to shine in this place like it never has before. I mean, that's what my heart is looking for. I'm looking for the glory of God to come forth. And I'm wanting to share with us tonight what the scripture says is going to do that. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So being devoted to one another is not an option. It's a commandment. Give preference to one another in honor. Once again, not an option, but a commandment. I'm supposed to prefer my brother in honor. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now the next scripture we're going to be looking at is in Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to see that in the last days once again. It has some stuff for us to look at. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hallelujah. Okay. Once again, this is what the writer of Hebrews says we're supposed to be doing more and more and more as the day of his return draws near. Okay? What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be encouraging and thinking up, dreaming up ways of encouraging each one of us to love our brothers more than we do. That's what we're supposed to be doing in the last days. Now, he makes it clear, always supposed to be doing this, but even more as you see the day drawing near. Okay? Now, if we're in these times that I believe that we're in, and I really do believe that, okay, Not making any kind of foolish prediction as far as timing or whatever. You know, I don't know how long this phase will last, but I believe that we have entered into the final phase where the harvest is going to come in. The fullness of the Gentiles is going to come in. Israel is going to turn in whatever way is meant in Romans chapter 11. It's already beginning to happen, okay? And I praise God that God is using the United States of America once again, you know, as a way of helping Israel see that it's the evangelical Christians who really are standing with them at this time. Because the way they see it is like this, that when the United States moves its embassy, it means that the evangelical Christians are standing strong with them. That's how they see it. Okay? And veils are beginning to be removed. Historical offenses that happened in past history with those who called themselves Christians and yet hated other people and did violence against them. Those things are beginning to be, those veils are beginning to be removed. Okay? And we as a nation have a part in that. I thank God for the United States of America. Is America perfect? Of course not. But I thank God that He has once again raised up this nation as an instrument in His hand of mercy and of light, this time to Israel. And I firmly believe that if we as God's people in this country will seek after Him, He will pour out grace and mercy upon us. Hallelujah. He will pour out a great revival upon America once again. I believe that with all of my heart. If we will call out to Him, He will see this and He will move. Okay? So, once again, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be thinking, okay? How can I encourage Brandon to love others more than he's doing right now? You know, now that's not done usually by casting stones at him, okay? You know, I'm supposed to be considering, how can I encourage Brandon? You know, how can I encourage Brandon? You know, and maybe one way that I can encourage Brandon is to go to him and say, you know what? You're probably not aware of this, but brother so-and-so over there in the corner, an imaginary brother over there, man, he's really going through some hard stuff right now. And you know what? I think you're the one that's just got the right words and the right actions that's going to help him get out of this hole that he's in. You know, I consider, oh, yeah, Brandon's the man. He can go over there, and he's going to help. He's going to love this brother out of this situation. I consider how to encourage him and to show him the path of how to love other people, other brothers more and more. And I'm supposed to be doing that more and more as the time approaches, as the day of the Lord's return approaches. Why is that? Because as the day of the Lord approaches, what's going to happen according to the scripture we looked at earlier? Darkness is going to increase and light is going to increase. A great spiritual battle is going to be fought. And it's going to be fought over whether we love each other or whether we hate each other. Okay? That's why it says in other parts of scripture, one of the things that will happen in darkness amongst brothers, what's going to happen? Brother's going to betray brother. Okay? Brother's going to betray brother. It says that. Okay? So, as we look at these things, as the day approaches, we have to be thinking this way even more. Amen. Even more. Now, one more thing about that. Not forsaking our own assembling together. Okay? Our assembling together is a part of our expression of love for each other. And it also facilitates our truly loving and expressing our love for one another. In other words, if I'm not assembling together with my brethren, I tend to become more distant, not more loving. Okay? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Okay? I mean, you know, that's just the way it works. Okay? If I stay away from the house for a month, You know, what's going to happen? Well, Danny is not going to be as important to me as he was a month ago. I haven't seen him. I've seen all these other people. They're more important to me now. How many understand what we're talking about? You know, even more as the day approaches, we're supposed to be assembling more faithfully together. And because this is part of our expression of love, and it also is what keeps us focused as a body. It keeps us focused, okay? It keeps us on target. It keeps us on the things that we need to be doing. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm not going to get as far as I had hoped tonight, but I am going to read one more scripture to you. And that's John. We're going to close with that one. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Okay? Once again, it's a commandment. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Okay? Now, two things about that. First of all, if it's a commandment, it's something I do. It's not something I feel. I can't control what I feel. I can control what I do. Okay? If it's a commandment, it starts with action. Okay? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. It's an active commandment. All right? It's not something that that is dependent on the vagaries of how I feel this day. It's something that I either do or don't do. Because it's a commandment. I command you to feel this way. But I command you to love one another. It's something we can do. It's something that starts with action. Okay, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Okay, what is the commandment of Jesus? That we love one another as he loved us. Question time again, not trick question time. Okay, how many of us feel like we're loving others the way that Jesus loved us? Okay. Am I doing that? I mean, Jesus died on a cross for me. He did it for you. Okay. Am I loving others that way? And yet I am commanded to do that. I'm commanded to do that. I'm not encouraged to do that. I love it when preachers get this new vocabulary. God encourages us to, no, God commands us to do this. Okay? He's not encouraging. He's not suggesting. He's commanding. Okay? Why is he commanding that we do this? Because as we do this, darkness gets lesser, light increases. Isn't that what it's all about? Light increasing and darkness decreasing. As we do this, light increases, darkness decreases. Hallelujah. Why is he commanding that? In fact, Ray, would you turn that air conditioner off? I think it's freezing in here. Hallelujah. Would you turn it up a little bit? Okay. That you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. All men will know that you are my disciples, okay? Here's where the connection is, you know, because I can hear the question in some theologians' minds. Well, where is evangelism in all of this, okay? Well, this is where evangelism is in all of this, okay? This is the way everyone in the world is going to know that we're real disciples of Jesus Christ, Not because we can shout and scream at the devil, but because we love one another. Okay? You know, and basically he's pretty much saying it like this. You know, if all of us are truly loving one another and the people out there are not interested in that, there's not much more we can do for them. Okay, I mean, if we really are loving one another like Jesus loved us, and they come in here and they see that, and they say, whatever. I mean, what else can we do for them? You know, is there some word that I'm going to speak that's going to change people like that? No. People come in and they see that everyone truly does love one another. We're people from all different kinds of backgrounds, different races, different whatever. All of that differences that is becoming more and more a problem on the earth. Why? Because darkness is increasing. Light's going to increase as well. Okay? And they see these people really love one another. But I'm not interested in that. Well, a God who is love, I mean, what else does he have to offer if they're not interested in that? Because God is love. Okay? Amen. So it plays an awesome part, okay? What we're talking about, it plays an awesome part in facilitating end time harvest. You know, because then in our society, and this is what's so wonderful about the community that we live in, because we have in our community leaders from different churches that truly do love one another and care for each other, and people are seeing that more and more. You know, and so accusations of hypocrisy are falling away because they can't say, you Christians can't even get along with each other. They can't say that because we can get along with each other. He says, you people, you consider your theological differences as more important than each other. No, we don't. We got theological differences, but that's no problem. We love each other. Okay? And so that by this all men will know that you are truly my disciples if you have love one for another. Oh, thank you, Lord. It'll help usher in the end time harvest. And the voice of the accuser calling us hypocrites will be silenced. Amen. Hallelujah. Light becomes lighter or more powerful, more intense. Darkness passes away. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when we're going to be able to convince people that we really know the path to heaven is when we're living it in here. You people know something about heaven because, man, this feels heavenly in here. And what is the atmosphere of heaven other than that of perfect love? Okay? We see, we're called to show heaven here in the way that we relate to each other. That's the way that we can show it now. In case you haven't noticed, your feet aren't walking on streets of gold right now. Okay, we're not doing that part of it yet, but we can do the loving each other part of it. Amen. And show that we do know the path to heaven. We're walking it out. It's heavenly in here. Amen. It's heavenly because the sound system plays things great. No, sound system's going to be awesome. Okay, but it's heavenly because of what's in our heart towards one another. Amen. That's the part of heaven we can show now. And if we show them that, they'll believe that we know the path there. Yes. Amen. Okay? End time harvest will come in. That's what we're trying to do, guys. Okay, I haven't gotten as far as I wanted to tonight, but I'm asking God, let's all stand. I'm asking God to really begin to soften our hearts for major, major change in how we do what we call Christian life. Okay? And I want to close and just invite anyone who wants to come forward here with me and say, Lord, I'm offering up my heart. I'm not making you any promises tonight, Lord. Okay? Maybe we're not ready for promises. not offering, I'm not making any promises tonight, Lord, but I am offering up my heart, and I'm asking you to begin to soften it. I'm asking you to begin to make it more tender and more aware of the truths of your word. I'm telling you, there is amazing stuff about how strategic this is for the days that we live in. If you're willing to say, yes, Lord, I want you. I want to offer up my heart for you to soften it, because I realize now I need that. Thank you, Lord. I realize now, Lord, now I realize and I see I need that. I need my heart softened by your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. I need that. I need that so much. And guys, I'm the first one up here. Okay? I'm offering my heart together with you, all of us together. I'm saying, yes, Lord, I need it. I need my heart to be softened by your word. And I just want to say, Lord, I don't want to make vain promises to you tonight. I just want to ask you, would you, by your word, soften and tenderize my heart, Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let's just pray for a moment and ask God to do that in our lives. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. Oh, yes, Lord. Lord, I'm just asking you, Lord, to help us. Help us, Lord, with all the religious misconceptions. Lord, help us with all the things that we think we understand about how this life is supposed to be lived, Lord. And Lord, and how revival is going to happen, and how the end times are this and that and the other. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to get rid of all that stuff, God, and that we would be able to see what your word says about these issues. Lord, we're moving in, I believe, with all of my heart, I believe we're moving into key times. And so, Lord, I want to look at these scriptures, and I want a work to be done in me, Lord. I want a work to be done inside of me. Yes, Lord, I'm asking you to do it tonight. Let's just take a moment and let's respond to this word by asking God to work in our hearts. And hallelujah. Pray in your own words. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm just asking you for major revolution in Grace Covenant Church, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm asking you for real change inside of us, God. Help us to see the nature of spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. That it really revolves around whether we love one another or not. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. It really revolves around that. That's what defines it. And so, Lord, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for this church, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the genuine love, Lord, the level to which we have attained that, Lord. I acknowledge and recognize that. Lord, there is a measure of this truth that we're walking in already, Lord, and I thank you for it. But, Lord, we need so much more. Lord, as we look at these scriptures, we see that we're not walking in them in the way that we're commanded to. And so, Lord, we're asking you, take away our excuses. Take away, oh Lord, the hardness of our heart that says that what you command is impossible. Oh Lord, just take away these things. And we offer up our lives to you, knowing that you will do a great work in us, Lord, as we ask you to do it, knowing that you will do a tremendous thing in us, Lord. Hallelujah. We want light to increase in us and darkness to decrease. Light to increase and darkness to decrease. Light to increase and darkness to decrease. Hallelujah. And Lord, we turn to you in full trust in Jesus' name. Let's just close with applause tonight. Let's just applaud him and just thank him for his faithfulness to us. He's faithful to us. He's preparing us. Amen. He's preparing us for the end times, guys. He's preparing us for a major push forward. He's preparing us for great assignments in the kingdom. God bless you. Amen.